There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio, and so happy to have all the folks with us. We have another exciting, interesting show. But before we jump in, a recap of last week's show. If you missed it, you can still, as you always know, you can go live on our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com and download the podcast. We were joined last week by three members of the Gladden Center for Adoption team, who talked with us about post-adoption reunion. This was really a fascinating interview with the staff and one member of the staff who actually is a birth mother. She used Gladney to help place her infant son and now works for Gladney as the community education coordinator since 2009. If you want to listen to the show, you can download it by, again, going to our website at www.youradoptionfinancecoach.com. You can also go to our site at find us on voiceamerica.com as well. So on another note, if you are an adoption agency or an adoption professional, you'll be interested to know that we've launched our adoption finance coaching system. We are now helping adoption agencies to help their families raise the money that they need for their adoptions. This is an online web-based system, and if you're interested in a free demo, if you're an adoption agency or an adoption professional, you're interested in a free demo, you can contact us on our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. We have products that fit every budget and every size of agency. So let's jump in. Tom DeFilippo, who is the CEO of the Joint Council for International Children's Services, joins us to update us on the organization's progress and talk about the upcoming 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium, which will be held April 7th through the 10th in San Francisco, California. Now, those of you who know Tom know that he serves as the president and CEO of the Joint Council. And as a part of his work as a child advocate, Tom has elevated the cause of every child's right to a permanent family through his travel to 28 countries. He's given testimony before the U.S. Congress, service as a nonprofit board member for the Council on Accreditation, Focus on Adoption, Discovery Ministries, and Joint Council on International Children's Services. And through many presentations, speeches, and lectures, over 40 children welfare convenings, including the UNRO Human Rights Clinic at Washington University and the Russian Ministry of Education Conference on Child Protection. Tom also advocates on behalf of children without family care through repeated appearances on CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, and ROTIV, I think I said that right, Russia, and numerous other media outlets. To say the least, he's everywhere. Prior to his position at Joint Council, Tom spent 9 years as a vice president for CASI Foundation, chief operations officer for International Children's Alliance, and held an executive position at a variety of private corporations. Tom, I remember you telling me, and welcome, by the way. Welcome, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And you were one of the first guests of the show. I remember because it was we hadn't had very many guests at all, and you were kind enough to come on the show and help us get our start.
Well, I'm still glad to be a part of what you're doing. It's amazing. You almost immediately became a highly valued member of the community. You know, you're provide a great venue for those of us working on behalf of children and incomparable service to your listeners. So, I mean, it's no wonder that you've got, almost 500,000 listeners over the past few years. So, congratulations.
Yes, isn't that great? Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, obviously. We've had America's Christian Credit Union that has underwritten the show since the very beginning, since the first day, Beacon House Adoptions, and Gladney Center for Adoption, also a number of other, Embraced by Grace, a number of other sponsors that are helpful in making this show possible. So thank you for that. I want to just share, because before we jump in on all of this, I remember that when you shared your personal story, so as a part of your bio, you worked in the private corporate sector for a long time. You had a very wonderful story to tell about what made you shift from working in private corporation to the world of adoption. I hope you'll share that story with us again.
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you said, I worked in the private sector for 15 years, and mostly in consumer products. And it was a great career, but I did some international travel, adopted two children. And when I did, I saw the conditions that existed in orphanages and the suffering that a lot of children went through. And at that time, I was children's development and children's rights and all that. I didn't know anything about it, but mm-hmm. I did see it and, could feel it, taste it and smell it. And I went to a number of different orphanages, after I adopted my children. And I just came back one time, particular, this orphanage was an orphanage with older special needs children. And it was, obvious that they weren't going to ever become part of society in a functional way, and many of them died. And I just thought, well, maybe we could do something with the skills that I did have and help out. So came home from one of the trips, and 45 days later, walked away from the career and started volunteering. Then I worked for an agency, ran a foundation, and joined the Joint Council Board. Mm-hmm. Was appointed president 7 years ago, and there we go.
Wow.
That brings us
wow.
to today.
Yeah, and you've done an amazing job.
Well, sometimes. I guess we've done a pretty good job, and other times not so much.
Right. Tell us, how old are your kids now?
The daughter by birth is 25 and 22 and 19.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, and where are they from, Tom?
Two are from Russia.
Okay. Interesting. So you adopted two children from Russia. You had a firsthand experience with Russia a long time ago, right?
Right. Yep. A long time ago.
And you know what?
Like it's 15 years ago now.
Right. I know I'm going to ask you about that later on in the show in terms of your perspective, because all of us have really seen and been surprised by the reality that Russia is no longer allowing Americans to adopt children. It's just really sad state of affairs. But before we get into that, I want to just talk a little bit about help to educate our listeners a little bit on the work of the Joint Council. So you referred to two names, the Joint Council on International Children's Services, or Joint Council. And mm-hmm. Tell us, just tell our listeners, just to give us the elevator pitch, what you guys do and what you focus on.
I think that if you cut down to it, I mean, we do a lot of different services, but when you come right down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's not about the programs or the symposium or our international relations initiative or public awareness or anything. It really comes down to what we do is bring hope to children who are living without families, because it's a great misunderstanding, I think, among the public that children who live in orphanages, for instance, or other institutions, or on the street, are identified by governments and international groups as needing help, and then help comes, roaring in with vaccines and schools and education and healthcare and all that. But that's not the case. So, for instance, in Haiti, when the earthquake hit, aid and relief was not going to the orphanages because no one knew where they were, including the larger NGOs. We're all familiar with. So the work that we do is to bring attention to those kids, to bring resources, meaning medical care and food and security and safety. We do a lot of work to raise the awareness of those kids, not just among the public, but among service providers, and asking them and pointing out, say, hey, why aren't we bringing relief to these children? Why aren't we doing more for them? Why aren't we doing anything for them in some cases? So that's really what we do. We bring for those kids hope that they're going to get live today, and then hopefully that tomorrow we'll either get them back into their family that they were born into, or an extended family, aunt, uncle, grandparent, local adoption, international adoption, to get them what they inherently need and deserve and have a right to. And that's their, that's a family, you know, a family today,
yeah,
tomorrow.
And so in many ways, you are, you're advocating hope for children, but you're also, you guys are also clearly an adoption advocating organization. I mean, you advocate
for
international adoption. And so I know that the organization itself has changed over the years. Is there anything that you can talk about specifically of what you're most proud of over the last few years that you've been working on from your own perspective?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Just before I do that, I just wanted to touch back on what you just mentioned.
We
are definitely an advocate for adoption, for international adoption, and we're an advocate for the whole spectrum of services that ensure kids live in families. But one of the reasons why we have, you know, we have partners who have expertise in adoption and international adoption, so naturally we have some great competencies in that area. But one of the reasons why we do that and advocate for adoption and kind of have a track on that is because there's internationally, I don't know of anyone else that does it. There's a lot of national groups in different countries, but from an international perspective, you know, it's a service that children need. It's an option that they need. It's not the only one they need, but it is certainly valid and brings a lot of love and care and permanency to kids who need it. And we're one of the few groups that do that. So there's a hole, you know, in the advocacy spectrum, and we try to fill that. So in terms of what we're most proud of, I think it really does go back to the fact that we bring attention and services to kids who don't get it. You know, we've been involved with something called the U.S. Government Action Plan for Children in Adversity. It was actually a historic policy that was promulgated by the administration, by the Obama administration, and is being looked at by Congress to codify it. But it really included three main pillars as a foreign assistance policy. And one of those pillars, the second one, involves family first, meaning kids need to grow up in families, and that U.S. foreign assistance should be focused on that to a large degree. So that was really a historic moment and, and plan that has been put in place over the past 3 years. We've done work with corporations like Mead Johnson and getting them to, again, through their corporate responsibility programs, to bring aid and relief to kids that are, you know, in orphanages and other vulnerable kids. Operation Smile, we all know that really fabulous, wonderful organization.
They
now, you know, through partnering with them, are bringing surgeries, cleft palate surgeries, to, again, kids who didn't get, who weren't in the queue. They weren't in the line.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Now they are. Children and Families First Act, the CHIF legislation that so many of your listeners are probably aware of.
Senator Landrieu.
Senator Landrieu's a champion.
And we're going to have to take a break, Tom. I've got a
break
for just a second. We're going to come back again. I'm with Tom DeFilippo, who is the president and CEO of the Joint Council on International Services. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Hawley & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. I want to give us a special call out to our sponsors we mentioned earlier in the program: Beacon House Adoptions, America's Christian Credit Union, Hawley & Associates, and Embraced by Grace. We really could not offer this show and make it available to you every single week without our sponsors. If you're interested in sponsoring and reaching out to a number of adoptive parents, professionals, and others who are touched by the adoption triad, it's a great way to connect. You can reach us at youradoptionfinancecoach.com for more information about how to be a sponsor of this show. So let's jump back in. I'm with Tom DeFilippo, who is the CEO of Joint Council for International Children's Services. And Tom, before the break, you were talking about the role of the Joint Council in terms of international services, and you were talking about this advocacy spectrum that you guys provide. And when you talked a little bit about providing services and support now, the first thing that I thought about was, well, how are you different from UNICEF? And so we talked a little bit about that on the break, but I'd like you to give us what that spectrum is in terms of the services that we, at least that we understand that UNICEF provides versus the services that Joint Council provides.
Well, thanks. There's so much there. I'm kind of stumbling on that question there for a second, but I think that the biggest, you know, if you look at this, it's hard to compare because it'd be like comparing, you know, McDonald's with your local deli, right?
Okay.
In terms of size. But I will say that we do have, I think, a substantial impact around the world and are considered a leader and an expert in the field of permanency for children. So the one of the big differences is that we focus on kids who live outside of family care. The traditional, you know, UNICEF, and I can't speak for UNICEF and their actual programs, but I can just say in general, they and the larger aid and development community usually focus on families, existing families and communities. So, for instance, if you look at UNICEF reports that state there are 150 million orphans in the world, all of those children live in an existing family because that number is put together by a household survey, which by definition means they live in a household, in a family already. We're looking at the kids who aren't included in that number, the kids that are in orphanages, institutions, on the street, you know, kids that are already removed, kids that live in refugee camps, Right? So that type of a population are the kids that we want to serve. And again, I just go back to the difference between the response that we had and the traditional aid and development community had when the Haiti earthquake hit. So you had about 20,000 children living in orphanages. And when we went into the UN mapping room, schools were mapped literally, you know, up on a wall, right? Big map of Haiti, stick pins. Everything was mapped. Hospitals, clinics, schools, communities, community centers, orphanages weren't on the list. So it was really up to, I can say that the U.S. Army did a magnificent job in helping us. You know, we didn't do it by ourselves, obviously. We had partners on the ground all over the place, partners here in the U.S. But that aid only got there because we were able to identify where, and where the orphanages were. And unfortunately, we weren't able to identify all of them. So there were places where kids were living that just didn't get any help, period, for days and days and weeks and weeks. So that's the main differential that I see. Anyway.
Right, right. I'm glad that you kind of illustrated that for us, because I think it is really important. I think so often we think, oh, all that stuff is taken care of, but there are lots of agencies on the ground that are doing this specific type of work that you are talking about, and it really helps us all to really understand more about what your services are. I want to just talk a little bit, because one of the reasons that you're here today is to talk about the symposium that's coming up in April. We talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the show, the 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium, which is April 7th through the 10th in San Francisco, California. I'm going to be there. I'm excited about getting an opportunity to be there. Tell us a little bit about what is the purpose of the symposium.
Well, the main purpose is to convene professionals in the field and share information, latest research, to provide opportunities to network with each other, both formally and informally. And it's really just to educate ourselves as a community. You know, we bring in outside experts, we bring in experts from the community itself, and we share through presentations, keynotes, lightning talks that you are so kindly and graciously sponsoring for us this year. So really, last year, the lightning talks were the, you know, we always do surveys afterwards and evaluations of our symposium. And the lightning talks were the second most valued of the symposium. So I think it will have a really good attendance and some great, and for those who weren't familiar with that term, in terms of a symposium or a conference, basically we take an hour and we break it down by 5-minute slots, and each presenter gets just 5 minutes. That's it. They're cut off at the 5-minute mark. So they have to take whatever their topic is and really boil it down to the most important pieces that they want to share and convey to the attendees. So it's fast-paced, it's high-impact, and you get to take away, you know, a lot of information from 12 different presenters. And so it's challenging to a presenter to do that, but it's really helpful, you know, in terms of boiling down what your key messages are. And it challenges the attendees to pay attention, because if you miss a minute, you've missed something pretty important, right? It's just a really great, great thing. So anyway, again, getting back to just
the
larger
concept.
It's an educational forum families, for adoptive families, for professionals that are involved in adoption, and also orphan care work. Again, always focused on that one particular population of kids that live outside of family cares and families that are at risk of dissolving. You know, of course, that's job one is strengthening existing families so kids aren't orphans in the first place.
Exactly. So you said the symposium is for families, it's for adoptive families, it's for professionals. Do you have various different, I haven't seen the schedule, do you have different tracks for families, different conferences for, you know, different sessions, I guess, for different folks based on where their perspective is?
Sure, yeah. If you go to our website, there's a link to our symposium. The symposium has its own website. And you can look at the presenters and the topics. Of course, we have an adoption track that's really solid. We also have, you know, a nutrition track for kids outside of family care, an orphan care track, different pieces like that. But if obviously your listeners are most interested in the adoption piece, and there's 29... presentations throughout 3 days, and a large portion of them in one way or another tied to adoption. And some of those sessions would be of value to adoptive parents, for sure. But, you know, they can take a look. Anyone that's an adoptive family can just take a quick look at the list of presentations and see if there's something that they're interested in. So they could come for a day. You don't have to come for all 3 days.
Okay.
So there's things like, you know, while families wait, trying to support them through that process. There's a whole session on that. There's an international adoption of older children by Dr. Elaine Schulte. And as we know nowadays, a lot of the adoptions from inter-country adoption are older children. So I think that's going to be an important one. We have people from the U.S. government, and I'll be hosting a whole session with folks from USCIS, National Benefits Center, Department of State. So I think that, again, is there's a Q&A session, so if people want to ask specific questions, they can.
Right,
There's a lot going on, yeah. It's okay. Really an action-packed 3 days.
Yeah, that's great. And the website, again, is jointcouncil.org. Is that correct?
Yep, jointcouncil.org.
Yep. Okay. So to find out more information about the 38th Symposium, you can go to it's the annual Child Welfare Symposium, April 7th through the 10th in San Francisco. You can go to jointcouncil.org. And as Tom said, there are lots and lots of different presentations. It's available for families, available for adoptive families, adoption professionals. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. How long have you guys been doing this symposium?
38 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. 38
well,
years. Yeah.
What part
yeah.
of that did I not understand, right? 38th annual. And did it start? Did it start that way? Did it start in the same format?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no problem. This sounds kind of, maybe self-serving. I'm not sure, but that's okay, I guess. We have been doing this 38 years, and I've been, along with Rebecca Harris, our chief operations officer, been convening this for the past seven. And without a doubt, this year is the most dynamic symposium that we've ever put on. The breadth of speakers, we have people from Catholic Relief Services, Save the Children, our own partnerships. We have so many physicians, I can't count them, and researchers. So it's really a dynamic year. So I'm really enthused about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. And how many attendees do you usually have at the symposium?
Well, we cap it at 200.
Oh, so, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So space is limited, folks.
Venue.
And does it, we'll just do the little commercial here while we're here. Does it cost money to go for an adoptive family or a prospective adoptive family or professionals? Is there a cost to go?
Yep, there's a fee. And that'll be, that would be on the site. If you're going to ask me what it is, I don't know.
Okay. We'll let you off the hook on that one.
Yeah. You can check it on the website. It's all posted and transparent.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. And so I also understand that you've got some interesting keynote speakers. Julian Davies, is that right? Is going to be one of the keynote speakers. Okay.
Yeah, and Dr. Julian Davies, yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. And what does he do? What is his interest in this, and what subject is he going to be presenting? Do you know?
Well, you know, he's been a presenter on and off for us for a number of years, mm-hmm. and he's very, very entertaining, by the way, when he speaks. And I don't necessarily have what he's speaking on at the moment, but I can grab it in just a few seconds. So,
We
do have a lot of doctors from all the different medical clinics around the country, and also from a lot of the universities as well.
So, right. And I know that we're going to be doing some follow-up interviews with Elaine, and I can't remember her, Schulte, I think is her last name,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And then also Judy Steiger, I think is how you pronounce her last name.
Yep.
So we're going to have some follow-up interviews with some folks that are going to be appearing at the conference in the next few weeks, so you want to stay tuned for those. And I'm here today with Tom DeFilippo, who is the president and CEO of the Joint Council on International Children's Services. We're talking about the 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium that's going to be in San Francisco on April 7th through the 10th. To check out more information about the symposium, you can go to jointcouncil.org. That's jointcouncil.org. This is for adoptive families, adoption professionals, anyone interested in these very important issues. So you're listening to Kelly Allison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. More to come.
Pure religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27.
Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet. Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300. Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here today with Tom DeFilippo, who is the CEO and President of Joint Council for International Children's Services. We're talking about their scope of work that the agency and organization does in terms of their advocacy spectrum, talking about their upcoming 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco, April 7th through the 10th. They are taking late registrations until March 24th. The sponsors of the conference include Adoption Net, Gladney Center for Adoption, Spence Chapin, Children and Family Services, and your very own, your adoption finance coach, and many, many more. You need to check it out at jointcouncil.org. Over 29 presentations, Tom said, about adoption. So if you're an adoptive family, if you're interested in adoption, I think this would be a good forum for you. And you just mentioned during the break, Tom, that years ago you had to go to all of the days, but now you can just kind of come in and you can go to various different sessions. Okay.
Yep, you can pick and choose. So it's actually the convening is still designed primarily for professionals in the field, whether it's orphan care, adoption, foster mm-hmm. care providers, but there are segments of it that I think about the families would definitely be interested in and benefit from. So they can just, again, make their own assessment and, and hopefully join us in San Francisco. It's the first time we've gone West Coast.
I know, you're going all across the country. Well, you're going all the way across the country. That's a big, that is a big deal. I can tell you, I have done conferences that way before where I have moved the entire army to another place. There's no small undertaking.
No, it's not. But we have a lot of good partners in San Francisco, including the hotel, the Holiday Inn, that are helping us out. And Bay Area Adoptions, for instance, they're helping us out as well to a large degree with the logistics. Yeah. And we're really excited that you're going to be there, especially for that lightning talk. This should be really a good time. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say when you were talking a little bit about the lightning talks that it reminds me when I was reading the description of it, I was just completely drawn to it. First of all, love to have the opportunity to sponsor this and bring it to folks. I think it's very exciting. It's an opportunity for me more than anything. But I'm actually going to be doing one of them. And so and it's sort of like Shark Tank. That Shark Tank experience, I was thinking about that, you know, in terms of being able to just say what it is you want to say, tell them you told them that you told them. That's always the thing that I always remember. So I'm practicing my lightning talk as we speak. I have it typed and I'm practicing it so that I can get it down and not make a complete fool out of myself. But I am going to be talking about actually financing your adoption. I'll be having a conversation with folks about that.
Great,
We know from our research that that's the number one barrier to adoption, whether it be international or domestic adoption. It's really a passion for me, and so I'm going to be talking about that. I want to switch a little bit in terms of international adoption for a moment, because, Tom, you are one of our premier advocates for international adoption. You're really in the middle of all of this. You really understand the picture, and you know, you really get this. I think if anybody were paying any attention at all, we talked a little bit about the fact that Russia banned adoptions with America. I personally have a family that I've worked with who have their son that they waited in Haiti for 3 years for this little guy to come home. I know you're aware of the Stuck documentary, Craig Gentleman's work. I promoted that on the show, and Craig was here in Kansas City. So, you know, I'm interested in getting your perspective on this. Is there, you know, you're in the middle of a lot of this international, what's going on. And there are some good things that are going on as well. There's just kind of a shifting, I call it kind of the righting of the ship. What would you call it?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what I would call it. I would say that, as you said, there's a lot of good things going on, and there's still a lot of horrific things going on. So on the good side, I mean, we have, you know, universal accreditation, for instance. So all adoption service providers in the U.S. as of this summer will have to be accredited by the U.S. government to conduct international adoptions. That elevates child protections, family protections, all the way around. Is that a super strong system? No. It needs to be beefed up and strengthened itself, but it's better than what we had. So that's an improvement. Older children and children with special needs are being adopted at an increasing rate. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing, because a lot of those children just don't have options in their country of birth. So international adoption plays a really valid role. Where we need to work on that side of it is getting families resources, adoptive families, getting them the resources after they complete their adoption to really have a strong, healthy family unit that's not at risk of dissolving once the adoption's taken place. So a lot of education and also financial resources, as you said, not only completing the adoption, but doing getting financial resources for support services once the adoption's done. So there's good things, and there's some things that still need to be beefed up. There's, unfortunately, you know, a decrease in the utilization of intercountry adoption by many, many countries. Mm-hmm. Russia for political reasons, other countries for their own reasons. Sometimes it's really great, like in China, where a lot of the adoptions are being done domestically. So children that are available or that need adoption internationally are mostly children with special needs now in China. On the downside there, we need to strengthen China's and help assist them with strengthening their screening process for domestic adoption and placement and parent education and all of that. So again, good things and also areas we need to work on. And unfortunately, you still have things like the Department of Justice had to go in and, you know, for fraud and apparent alleged criminal activity, you know, arrest some staff from an adoption agency. And that's just a horrific.
Oh my gosh.
When you read that, you know, you realize that there's a lot of, but there's bad practices that go on, and those people need to be identified, investigated, prosecuted if it's appropriate, and, pay a penalty for abusing families and children. I mean, it's a horrific nightmare for those kids and those families and their birth family. So a lot of good things, a lot of challenges that we still need to work on. So it's definitely a changed world over the past
definitely.
5 years.
And yeah. I read I think it was today or yesterday, I get a lot of adoption posts about, you know, what's going on internationally and also domestically. I don't know which post this was, but talking about the fact that Ukrainian adoptions are now sort of replacing Russian adoptions. And now we obviously know what's going on in Ukraine. You know, you turn on the TV, you see what's going on in the Ukraine. Do we have any hope that Russia is ever going to come back, in your opinion, with adoptions with America?
Well, ever is a long time, but in the foreseeable future, no, I don't see any reason to have any optimism about Russia restarting international adoption with American families. It was done for a political reason, and until that political reason goes away, I don't know that we have any hope there.
Right. And
I do think that the hope. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that I do think that the hope in terms of not only international adoption, but strengthening child protections globally and ensuring that there's family preservation work and reunification work, foster care, kinship care, local adoption, an international adoption, all of that, to ensure that that actually is being built in different countries that are willing to partner. The legislation that's been introduced, the Children and Families First Act.
Yes, I was going to ask you about
that.
That can make a difference.
It's not an international adoption bill. It's got a lot of international adoption stuff in it.
Right.
There are technical fixes, but it's primarily a family security bill. That says the U.S. government, you know, you promote a lot of American values around the world. Why aren't you promoting families? Why aren't you promoting the value that we put on families? Why aren't you taking the scientific evidence? Why aren't we a leader in that issue? We're a leader in child trafficking. We're a leader in clean water. Why aren't we a leader in ensuring that kids live in families?
Right.
You know, supposedly families are the linchpin of society, yet we have no global policy, no foreign assistance policy on it. This would change that.
Yes, and we certainly have enough data to show, at least in the United States, with all the work that's going on with foster care and foster to adopt, and we have enough data to know the importance of permanency, the importance of family, and why we cannot extend that to the international scope. And the work that Senator Landrieu has done to introduce this bill, and other senators too, Blunt and some of the other senators, I don't remember their names right off the top of my head, but have done to introduce this, I have her on the show. She's very gracious to talk about it. Where is it now? What's the update on SHIF, if you know, Tom, in terms of, because I've been promoting, you know, helping people to pick up the phone and call the representatives and those kinds of things. Where is the bill now? What's the status of it, if you know?
Well, it's been, as you know, introduced both in the House and the Senate.
Yes.
And we now have close to 60 sponsors, I think maybe 56 sponsors total.
Okay.
So what we really need, it's in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The committee needs to move it out of committee and put it out for a vote. And to do that and make that happen, those who are interested in this bill need to contact their member of Congress and ask their member of Congress to support, become a co-sponsor of the bill, not just to, you know, vote for it because they can't yet. It's not out on the floor, but to become a co-sponsor. The more co-sponsors the bill has, the higher the likelihood of it passing and moving out of. But, you know, there's a lot of bipartisan support here.
Yes.
So this can happen. Senator Landrieu is a very strong, passionate leader on this, and so are many of the other senators and members of the House that are co-sponsoring this. I mean, there's a lot of movement. It's not like sometimes you see a bill put in, there's a lot of activity in co-sponsors the first couple of weeks, and it just sits there. This has been building. I mean, last 2 weeks, I think we got
there was five new members of the house came on as co-sponsors.
Oh,
it's
wow.
been building. The number of sponsors, the co-sponsors have been building each month, since it was introduced. So what I feel most strongly about is that if we want the U.S. government and its foreign assistance to represent the value that we as Americans place on family, if we want them to partner with other countries to help them build up child protection systems, if we want that, if we want to turn the tide, so to speak, mm-hmm. on the utilization of international adoption, make it ethical as best we can, make it in the best interest of kids, if that's what we want, this bill needs to become the law.
This bill can do it. You are right. Yeah. You are right. And
without that yes. bill, we yes. don't have a shot.
Right. We're going to go all the way back. We're going to be dead in the water again. And I think that's really, really important to understand. And the bill that Tom is talking about is the Children and Families First Bill. You can Google it. I don't have their website right here with me, but you can Google it, Children and Families First. They call it SHIFF, C-H-I-F-F. And you are absolutely right. This has got to pass, and it will make a lot of changes, and it will completely make a difference on what the view and our scope of international adoption as we see it today. So I want to thank you, Tom, for being with us. We're going to come back. We've got one more segment. We're going to talk about some more things about as it relates to international adoption and also about the symposium. So more fun stuff coming up. Please stay with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. We'll be right back.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Hawley & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300. You
are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks so much for staying with us. We are with Tom DeFilippo, who is the CEO and president of Joint Counsel Services for International. Say it for me, Tom.
Would you like me to help you?
I'm tongue-tied here.
Tongue-tied. Joint Counsel on International Children's Services.
Thank you.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah, long name. So, and folks will not forget that. They'll be like, yeah, what was the one that she fumbled on? Yeah, that was it. So we've been talking a lot. We've been talking a lot about international adoption, and folks who listen to this show on a regular basis know that I'm a big international adoption advocate. Obviously, we are an international adoptive family. My daughter is from China. The other thing I was talking to over break is that you mentioned the International Universal Accreditation Act. I had one of my adoption agencies, Beacon House Adoptions, and Hughes come on and talk about this when it was first getting started. There's going to be a turning point here on July 14th that agencies have to take action. And, you know, I talk to agencies all day long in terms of their clients and who they work with, international and domestic, the international agencies. This is going to be expensive for them. So we've got the Hague accreditation. And understand, I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying, you know, we have these 4,000 adoption agencies across the country. How is this going to affect them to have this accreditation act come on them and how they comply, if you will, to some of these actions that are happening?
Well, you know, I don't think that it's going to impact that many agencies. Agencies, the vast majority of them that are conducting placements of children internationally are already Hague accredited. Joint Counsel, we had a policy 2.5 years ago that we implemented, so you know, a couple of years before, almost 3 years before the U.S. government did, to be a partner with us, you needed to be Hague accredited.
Right.
And you know, we did that for a very specific reason, and it was a hard decision to make on one hand and not
right.
an easy one on the other, because, and I've said this at different forums, like Interaction is a form of NGOs from around the world. And it's this: if you're true to your mission, sometimes you have to be willing to downsize your organization to mm-hmm. stay true to it. Because the goal isn't to be big or to grow. The goal is whatever your mission is. Mm-hmm. And for us, when we did that, we basically truncated a portion of our partners because they weren't Hague accredited. But mm-hmm. I still feel that we made the right decision for kids. So we did, you know, shrink down a little bit in terms of our partners. But it's, I think, just so necessary. And in terms of the cost, one of the things that I think is just completely backwards is that the total cost of the accreditation is borne by the adoption agencies, which, if you look at it from a funding standpoint, uh-huh. means that COA uh-huh. is totally funded by the adoption agencies, who they are regulating. I don't know of any other regulatory process that 100% funds itself. But it's a conflict of interest. Because the fewer agencies that are regulated and accredited, the less income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disincentive to, and I'm not saying that COA does that. I'm just saying that it is, in fact, a disincentive. We've been supporting universal accreditation for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And we also, at the same time, have been advocating for federal financial support. And we were able to get into the universal accreditation a line that says that the Department of State can, but doesn't have to, help fund the accreditation process. If the accrediting bodies had more financial resources, they could do a better job.
Right.
Then the cost would be less to the agencies, theoretically.
Right.
And, you know, away you go. So it's something that's needed. If you look at who was, you know, the agency that was involved in the fraud case that the Department of Justice brought on, they weren't Hague accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So had Hague universal accreditation been in place years ago, that organization wouldn't have been working where they were and doing what they were doing. You know, so
I want to be very clear about that. The Hague Accreditation and all of these, the Hague Accreditation and the Universal Accreditation Act, all very, very important to provide the transparency and the accreditation and regulations that we need for international adoption. I am not saying that it is not completely appropriate. And you're absolutely right. There, you know, this particular agency who was brought up on charges, and that would not have happened if or they would not have been in business if they had been or tried to be Hague accredited. So I do think that it's very, very important. I guess where I kind of see the rub, and I mentioned this a little bit during the break, is that there's so much bad news about international adoption, and so then people aren't inquiring about it. It's kind of like this domino effect, you know. So we have less agencies that are doing international adoption because of the cost or whatever the case might be. So it's kind of this domino effect. If we really want to advocate for international adoption, we really need to make sure that it's a transparent process. Really need to make sure that it's accessible for people, that they can find information out about it, and they can actually complete the adoption. So hopefully all of these things that we're doing, including this shift, Children and Families First bill, will help to, as I said earlier, right the ship on getting this all right so that international adoption is something that we all see as a positive experience overall. You know, there aren't all these bad stories about it, if you will.
Right. I completely agree with you. I mean, as I said before the break, I think that the CHIF legislation is the linchpin to a lot of this. And without it, I'm not sure where we go in terms of international adoption and also this promoting families for children. So, there's the bill is not a panacea. It's not perfect. If people didn't don't like something, let the sponsors of the bill know. You know, there's nothing that goes into Congress comes out in the exact same form, right? So amendments can be made, changes can be made. So if you feel passionately about something that you don't like in that bill, instead of opposing the whole thing, just ask the sponsors to change whatever you don't like. So,
well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the legislative process works, right? It's you don't have to go in full blown and either support every word or hate every word. You can advocate for a change in the bill. That's the way the process works. But I do agree with you, Kelly, that you know, there's a lot of negativity about out there, and not only here in the U.S. in our press, but in countries of birth. You know, the demonization, criminalization of adoption and international adoption has been ongoing for, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so. And it's taken hold in many places, and that's a really, really sad thing.
Yes. And I can tell you that there are so many wonderful, wonderful success stories of families that I help and coach, adoption agencies that I work with every single day, who are successfully bringing kids home and uniting families, be it domestic or international, but specifically international. Lots of families that are thrilled and happy, and I love hearing all the stories of families that are coming together in that way. So I just don't want people to lose hope or thought that this is going away forever, because international adoption is not going away. And I want to thank you, Tom. We've got to close, but I want to thank you, Tom, for your time, for coming on the show again. I look forward to seeing you at the 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco. For more information about that, you can go to the Joint Council's website at jointcouncil.org. And you'll see me at the Your Adoption Finance Coach during the Lightning Talks on Tuesday, April 8th, when I will discuss financing adoption in a rapid 5-minute presentation. Stand back for that one. So I want to thank you, Tom, for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or my host webpage at voiceamerica.com. Next week, tune in again for another great show. We will see you next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.